Now he mentions this, for the prophecy came not at any time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, the prophecy, and he's referring here definitely to the Old Testament, it didn't come by the will of man. In other words, Isaiah didn't sit down and say, I think I'll write a book, and I want to get it to the publisher, because I do need some money, and he'll give me an advance. If I write a good book, he knows I'm a good writer. So I'll just sit down and write a book and send it to the publisher, and he'll send me an advance check, and then I'll get royalties for it. The way Isaiah did it was, listen to Peter, the prophecy came not at any time but the will of man. He didn't think it up. But holy men, and holy here means that the man is not some super-duper saint. It means holy in the sense they were set apart for this office. And that's what the word holy actually means. You're set apart. And if you're a holy Christian, that means you're set apart for the use of Christ today. And holy men of God, they spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And this is a very delightful figure of speech that is used here that actually our translation doesn't bring out of the Greek. It's a picture of a ship at sea, or a boat if you want to have it that way, a sailing boat or a sailing ship. And the wind gets into these great sails and bellies them out and moves the ship along. Now, that's the way the Holy Spirit moved these men. We have here in California every year, I guess they would call it a yacht regatta. And they line up and start out for Honolulu, Hawaii, coming around Diamond Head, way out there. And you've got to be a rich man that can take off a lot of time, or you have to be a man of means to own a ship. I had a doctor that performed an operation on me one day, and then the next day he took out on one of these boats. That sure left me in a bad shape. But he left a good doctor, of course, to take care of it, but I'd have much rather have had him. But here he is sailing out to Honolulu. And I asked him when he got back something about it, and he was telling me about how they put actually on an extra sail when they get a good wind. And they put that extra sail out, and it just moves the boat right along. Well, that's exactly what you have here in this passage of Scripture. These men set apart for this, the Spirit of God moves them along. Now, I want to call your attention to something that's very important again. This is Simon Peter's deathbed statement. This is his swan song. And in 2 Timothy, you have the deathbed statement of Paul the Apostle. You have his swan song. Both of them emphasize the Word of God in days of apostasy that we're living in today. Paul could say all Scriptures given by inspiration of God, and you have that same picture carried along by the Spirit of God. So that God could take a man like Simon Peter here, or a man like Paul the Apostle. They're two different men, friends. They wrote, their style was different. Simon Peter, the critic likes to say, he wrote very bad Greek. Well, he did, but Greek wasn't his native language. He lived in Palestine. He lived up by the Sea of Galilee. And he didn't speak Greek as his native language. It was a second language. Maybe he didn't do too well with it. But I took the stuff for 9 years, and you ought to see what I do with it. And may I say to you, I don't criticize him. I think he did a very good job here. But you see, Paul the Apostle and Dr. Luke, they wrote eloquent Greek. In fact, some of it is classical Greek. They could use periodic sentences, and it's wonderful. But the point is this, the Spirit of God can take a man like Simon Peter, a fisherman, not destroy his personality. God's not using these men as fountain pens, ballpoint pen, just writing with them. What he's doing is, he doesn't destroy their personality. He doesn't change these men. Simon Peter's going to write like Simon Peter and Paul and Dr. Luke, brilliant men, are going to write in a more eloquent, in a more cultured language and grammar that they'll use. But the Spirit of God will use both of them, and God will get over to man exactly through these men, just exactly what he wanted to say, so much so that if he spoke out of heaven today, he'd have to say something he's already said, because he's already said all he's going to say to man in this day. And he's gotten it through to us. So that you have in the Word of God a book that's a God book and it's a man book. It's both human and divine. Just like the Lord Jesus, as we've said, he was a man, could sit down and weep and could sit down and rest. He could sleep in a boat. Why? He's human. But I tell you, that one that could weep at a grave could raise the dead. That one that could sit down at a well because he was tired, he could give the water of life to a poor sinner. And on a boat, he could go to sleep, but he could also still the waves. Yes, he's man, but he's God also. And this book is the same way. It's a God book. And that's what Simon Peter is saying here. You've got something under your feet today. You're on a sure rock. You can believe something. No wonder that the Word of God has been attacked more than anything else. Why? Because the enemy today, if he can get rid of the foundation, the building will come down. It's almost nonsense to go into the pulpit and preach a sermon showing that you don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. That, to my judgment, is as silly and as insane as the poor fella out at the insane asylum. There was a vista there, and he went by, and here was a man with a pick at the corner of the dormitory, and he was digging at the foundation. And the vista wanted to be sympathetic with him, says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm digging out the foundation. Can't you see?" And he said, "Yes," but he says, "Don't you live in the building?" He said, "Yes," but says, "I live upstairs." May I say to you, to try to take out the foundation, my friend, I don't care what floor you live on, it's coming down. This Word of God is the solid foundation on which we rest. Now he mentions this, "For the prophecy came not at any time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Now, the prophecy, and he's referring here definitely to the Old Testament, it didn't come by the will of man. In other words, Isaiah didn't sit down and say, "I think I'll write a book, and I want to get it to the publisher, because I do need some money, and he'll give me an advance. If I write a good book, he knows I'm a good writer, so I'll just sit down and write a book and send it to the publisher, and he'll send me an advance check, and then I'll get royalties for it." The way Isaiah did it was, listen to Peter, "The prophecy came not at any time by the will of man." He didn't think it up. But holy men, and holy here means that the man is not some super-duper saint. It means holy in the sense they were set apart for this office. And that's what the word holy actually means. You're set apart. And if you're a holy Christian, that means you're set apart for the use of Christ today. And holy men of God, they spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And this is a very delightful figure of speech that is used here, that actually our translation doesn't bring out of the Greek. It's a picture of a ship at sea, or a boat if you want to have it that way, a sailing boat or a sailing ship. And the wind gets into these great sails and bellies them out and moves the ship along. Now that's the way the Holy Spirit move these men. We have here in California every year, I guess they would call it a yacht regatta. And they line up and start out for Honolulu, Hawaii, coming around Diamond Head, way out there. And you've got to be a rich man that can take off a lot of time, or you have to be a man of means to own a ship. I had a doctor that performed an operation on me one day, and then the next day he took out on one of these boats. That sure left me in a bad shape. But he left a good doctor, of course, to take care of it, but I'd have much rather have had him. But here he is sailing out to Honolulu. And I asked him when he got back something about it, and he was telling me about how they put actually on an extra sail when they get a good wind. And they put that extra sail out, and it just moves the boat right along. Well, that's exactly what you have here in this passage of Scripture. These men set apart for this, the Spirit of God moves them along. Now, I want to call your attention to something that's very important again. This is Simon Peter's deathbed statement. This is his swan song. And in 2 Timothy, you have the deathbed statement of Paul the Apostle. You have his swan song. Both of them emphasize the Word of God in days of apostasy that we're living in today. Paul could say all Scriptures given by inspiration of God, and you have that same picture carried along by the Spirit of God. So that God could take a man like Simon Peter here, or a man like Paul the Apostle. They're two different men, friends. They wrote, their style was different. Simon Peter, the critic likes to say, he wrote very bad Greek. Well, he did, but Greek wasn't his native language. He lived in Palestine. He lived up by the Sea of Galilee. And he didn't speak Greek as his native language. It was a second language. Maybe he didn't do too well with it. But I took the stuff for 9 years, and you ought to see what I do with it. And may I say to you, I don't criticize him. I think he did a very good job here. But you see, Paul the Apostle and Dr. Luke, they wrote eloquent Greek. In fact, some of it is classical Greek. They could use periodic sentences, and it's wonderful. But the point is this, the Spirit of God can take a man like Simon Peter, a fisherman, not destroy his personality. God's not using these men as fountain pens, ballpoint pen, just writing with them. What he's doing is, he doesn't destroy their personality. He doesn't change these men. Simon Peter's going to write like Simon Peter and Paul and Dr. Luke, brilliant men, are going to write in a more eloquent, in a more cultured language and grammar that they'll use. But the Spirit of God will use both of them, and God will get over to man exactly through these men, just exactly what he wanted to say, so much so that if he spoke out of heaven today, he'd have to say something he's already said, because he's already said all he's going to say to man in this day. And he's gotten it through to us, so that you have in the Word of God, a book that's a God book and it's a man book. It's both human and divine. Just like the Lord Jesus, as we've said, he was a man, could sit down and weep, and could sit down and rest. He could sleep in a boat. Why? He's human. But I tell you, that one that could weep at a grave could raise the dead. That one that could sit down at a well because he was tired, he could give the water of life to a poor sinner. And on a boat, he could go to sleep, but he could also still the waves. Yes, he's man, but he's God also. And this book is the same way. It's a God book. And that's what Simon Peter is saying here. You've got something under your feet today. You're on a sure rock. You can believe something. No wonder that the Word of God has been attacked more than anything else. Why? Because the enemy today if he can get rid of the foundation, the building will come down. It's almost nonsense to go into the pulpit and preach a sermon showing that you don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. That, to my judgment, is as silly and as insane as the poor fella out at the insane asylum. There was a vista there, and he went by, and here was a man with a pick at the corner of the dormitory, and he was digging at the foundation. And the vista wanted to be sympathetic with him, says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm digging out the foundation. Can't you see?" And he said, "Yes," but he says, "Don't you live in the building?" He said, "Yes," but he says, "I live upstairs." May I say to you, to try to take out the foundation, my friend, I don't care what floor you live on, it's coming down. This Word of God is the solid foundation on which we rest.